You can choose your favorite term for the change in corrections in California. Call it realignment or call it by its legislative bill number, AB 109. It gets the state closer to its court-ordered inmate count by having some inmates serving shorter sentences serve their time at county jails instead of going to state prison. And it gets down to more than a numbers game because making the changes in populations also changes the composition of the population in a prison or a jail. The demographics truly change. And there are ripple effects being noticed, especially in the county jails. Sheriff Tom Bosenko is in Shasta County and our guest today on the Jefferson Exchange. Sheriff, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Just to recap, the inmates that are now serving time in county jails under realignment, what kinds of crimes are they serving time for and what length of sentences?
Generally, property and drug-related crimes. They are considered, at least by state standards, low-level, nonviolent, non-serious sexual crimes, and non-serious crimes as a whole. They refer to them as three nons.
All right. What'd you say by the state definition? It sounds like the county definition is somewhat divergent from that.
Even to get to prison, you have to have a serious crime. So when they're saying they're not a serious offender, that's not an accurate depiction. And then also it doesn't take into their past history where they could have a very long, lengthy history of violence, and it's based on their actual commitment that they're doing time on at the present, their most recent commitment.
Really? So it is just the current sentence that factors into where they're going to end up?
Yes, that's correct. And then when they're released, rather than being on state parole, then they are returned to county responsibility called post-release community supervision, or PRCS.
And how does the post-release community supervision, is that any different from parole as we know
it
before?
It is. It's under county. It's administered by county probation versus state parole. Similar to where they have mandatory supervision, but now they become the responsibility of the county.
And how much money did the state provide enough money, let's put it that way, to...
Absolutely not. They were looking at prison realignment to be, one, a cost-saving measure to push the responsibility back onto the counties and to reduce their prison population so they could become in compliance with decisions from a federal three-judge panel and then later by the United States Supreme Court.
All right. So just enough to make sure that they clear the decks for their own legal issues.
But it still puts a heavy burden on county sheriffs statewide. I have a relatively small jail in comparison to some counties. hold a maximum of about 381. We've been in under a court agreement since 1993 to reduce to keep it from becoming overcrowded. So that reduces the total population to about 343, and it's always full. Now I have about 40 inmates that are doing more than one-year terms at the county jail, multi-year terms, and that causes a problem as well. I have some people doing 10-year sentences, four, seven, eight-year sentences, and that just gets worse. I know there's an inmate, at least one inmate in Southern California that has been sentenced to 43 years county jail.
Really?
None of our jails were designed to incarcerate people at that length of time. We are not a state prison. And earlier in your introduction, you talked about the problems. Well, we're seeing that prison culture inculcate into our jail structure much more than it has before with these long-term inmates. We're seeing what we call prison politics, where people, the inmates, get forced out of a cell and forced to move, or they're forced out of a housing unit, usually with assaults being forced out, and other types of behavior you normally see in prison are now transferring into the jails because of these long-term inmates. And then also people sentenced on property crimes, drug-related crimes, generally no longer go to prison. So then that's why you see the multi-year ones here, and then that's where the prison politics starts to come in to the jail. We see more inmate-on-inmate assaults and more inmate-on-staff assaults as well.
Sheriff Bosenko, I think there's an assumption on some people's parts, and probably on mine until this moment, that the three nons at least would be serving somewhat shorter sentences. But if we're talking 8, 10, and 43 years in the extreme case, it's really not a length of sentence issue at all, is it?
No, it's not a length of sentence. The sentencing requirements are still a state mandate. What the legislature did was change where these people would serve their time, county jail versus state prison.
And so what was the average length of stay in the Shasta County Jail pre-realignment, pre-AB 109?
Usually 1 year or less, and that was under state law that you would do 1 year or less county jail on a number of sentences. In rare occasions, if you had a sentencing where a judge and you had multiple crimes, individual incidents, in some cases the judge may sentence a person to consecutive sentences. So sometimes we could see maybe a 2 year sentence in jail, but that was more the exception rather than the case. Now we're seeing it much more often the case than the exception.
And of the 343 or so you try to hold to in the Shasta County Jail, is it just a small percentage of those people awaiting trial?
No. In our jail, it's the vast majority of them are awaiting trial. So you can't move them to other jails. You have to have them available for their public defenders and other attorneys and visits. So the sentence ones, the county is spending in excess of $600,000 annual for out-of-county contracts where other counties might have some beds available, then we contract with them.
Sheriff Tom Basenko, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He is Shasta County's sheriff. We're talking about realignment, AB 109 in California, and its effect on what's going on in the county jails, obviously with a particular emphasis on the Shasta County Jail. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange to get into this conversation. It's 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. I want to clear up another bit of terminology and procedure here. Did the state actually send any inmates to you, or is it just that Shasta County kept the ones sentenced after the law passed?
excuse me. When a person is released from state prison under prison realignment, under the three nons, they are returned to the county where they lived and were sentenced. So then they would be released and returned to the county under post-release community supervision, not to serve a sentence, but to be under supervision. Then, as new inmates are sentenced on these same crimes, instead of being sentenced to state prison, they are sentenced to county jail.
All right.
So roughly, in a three-year period, it's expected that Shasta County will get back about 700 people for post-release community supervision to probation, and then we'll be sending, instead of sending others to state prison, they'll be held at the county jail or put on electronic monitoring, GPS monitoring, to do their sentences. But oftentimes, there are 58 counties in California, and the vast majority of them have some type of capacity mechanism, either a court order, a federal order, or a self-imposed order to prevent overcrowding and to prevent lawsuits.
And the agreement you said with the court to keep it 343, was this the result of a lawsuit?
It was the result of a lawsuit back in the early 1990s.
All right. So you mentioned already some of the changes in culture, that you're getting a pretty much a rougher crowd in there. You also
Absolutely.
Mentioned that this is not Shasta County Jail was not built to be a prison. What are some of the differences that would exist just in supervision and structure and facilities, any of that stuff?
Mainly size of the cells, and also size of your recreation yards. We're mandated by state law to have inmates have to be able to get out and exercise and recreate, and they have to have so many hours per week of actually fresh air and sunshine. As your jails get to capacity, that makes it very difficult to comply with those guidelines. And then you could be subject to, the county could be subject to suits as well.
Just on the lack of time? I mean, is
it
really?
There's only so many hours in a day, sometimes you can't mix certain inmates together for safety reasons.
So how much of a difference, then, is there, for example, in the training of a corrections officer working in county jail, like Shasta County's jail, and a corrections officer working a state prison? It sounds like there'd be some fairly significant differences.
There is. It is mandated that everybody, all of our correctional officers that work in the jail, they have to attend a state standards in training for corrections core course, roughly 60-plus hours, and then, of course, first aid and CPR. And then I do believe that I can't speak for the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, but they have an academy that's much longer than that.
And you mentioned that there's an increase in assaults. Do you have hard numbers on inmate-on-inmate assault or inmate-on-officer
assault? I don't. We were just
assault?
Starting to go through some of those numbers, but last year as a whole, and our jail incidents, we probably had about 4,500 jail incidents. Now, that includes everything from a suspicious incident occurrence to an assault. It includes attempt suicides and suicides. So, but a total of 4,500 incidents, and that's going up. But anecdotally, we do see an increase in inmate-inmate assaults and inmate-on-staff assaults. We're also seeing a incident called gassing, and that's where inmates can take cleaning chemicals, such as soap and other chemicals, put it in a plastic bag, and then put it underneath a door, step on the plastic bag, and then the contents are forced into the cell. Or we also, another form of gassing is where they take urine and feces, mix it up into the same bag, and then do the same incident where they step on the bag and then propel the contents on people. That includes our staff as well.
So I can guess there have been some changes in procedures, like who gets to touch cleaning materials and how
right.
plastic bags get around, stuff like that.
So it's becoming a much more prison-sophisticated atmosphere in the jail.
The 4,500 incidents you mentioned in the last year, you said that is on the way up. What, for example, was the previous year's number of incidents?
I don't have those available right now. We're just starting to formulate some of that as we're comparing past years before prison realignment and then this year.
And so do you have the longer-term people? I mean, I'm just curious to know how you segregate in population. Do you try to sprinkle those around in groups of people who are on shorter sentences or keep them together?
There is a classification format, if you will, and it's based on a person's current charges, their past criminal history, affiliation with gangs, and obviously gender, so we can't mix the males with the females, so females have their own housing units, and sometimes people have racially associated gangs to where they'll have more of a, they'll be a Aryan Brotherhood type of gangs, white supremacists, and so obviously you could not put a person of color in with some of those individuals for that person's safety. And then on the flip side, there's also Hispanic gangs, African-American gangs, and then you would not want to put them in an area where there are some Aryan types, and then you would have, again, another fight.
Sheriff Pasenka, were any gangs in existence at the Shasta County Jail before realignment?
Not gang nomenclature existing in the jail where there's like prison gangs that are in existence. But we obviously we had people that were associated with gangs or coming from prison. So, but we are seeing more of that, more of the gang mentality as well. Oftentimes if you're in prison or you have to somehow associate with a gang in order to survive just for protection purposes. So if and that's where they get the gang affiliations and then also coming back into the jail.
Is it possible, given some of the issues you talked about with the facilities you have to provide for inmates who are serving longer sentences, that you'll be forced to make some changes, provide a larger exercise yard or more gym equipment or something?
Well, that's where the process of the problem is short county dollars. California has been in a huge recession for a number of years. County dollars are tight. There's not a lot of funding mechanisms. The state did have a couple of different funding programs that are very slow to get activated. They called one was called Assembly Bill 900. That was a failure by the state, and then they came out with Assembly Bill 900 Phase 2, which is a little more successful, and there's being some jails built currently, but there hasn't been any jail beds opened up as a result of those constructions because your construction usually takes about 5 years.
As you compare notes with the sheriffs elsewhere in California, one of 58 counties, obviously you mentioned the 43 inmates serving 43 years in the L.A. County Jail, I believe it was. But do you get a sense that things are about on average in Shasta County, slightly worse, maybe a little better?
We see it is about the same. In talking with my colleagues throughout the state, they're experiencing many of the same problems, just that obviously the larger jails, it's more magnified. Much more of a problem than the smaller jails, but probably on a percentage-wise, it's probably the same. Many of us, about 35 to 38 counties in the state, have the issues of having to do releases because of lack of bed space. Some of the larger jails, perhaps a person would only serve 10% of their sentence because of crowding issues. So if a person was sentenced to 365 days, it would be reduced to about 36 days minus time for good time, work time. Those are credits that are established by law. And then any credits that you have that you served, called credit time served. And so essentially, you could end up doing no time on a one-year sentence.
So the fact that you're still under mandatory sentencing guidelines in California, correct? I mean,
yes.
All right. But are we saying that in the broad picture between confinement at the county jail and confinement at the state prisons, that there are some people who are simply not serving the sentences for which they've been assigned?
That's the difficult part because of jail crowding as well.
So some of those people are not serving their full sentences?
That's correct. Because of jail crowding, you have to try and make some accommodations. Obviously, we want to hold offenders accountable. But I know in some of the large jails that are just completely at maximum, they have to do some releases to get them out. And, of course, you get credits for your credit while you're in custody and some work credits. That's mandatory. Also, for some mandatory sentencing, you get one day for one day credit. So, essentially, it's 50% off of your sentence.
Shasta County Sheriff Tom Bosenko, our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange. You mentioned having some opportunities to rent space in other counties. Which counties are you now sending inmates to?
Currently, we have contracts with Del Norte County in Northwest California, Mendocino County on the coast, El Dorado County in the Sierra Nevadas, and Lassen County to the east of Shasta County that borders Shasta and the state of Nevada.
All right, so a fair amount of scattering then all around. There was
yes,
that discussion we had a while back about Alameda County potentially having jail space to rent. Did that ever come to fruition?
That did not. The Alameda County Jail had about 1,000 beds available, but their rate at which they wanted to charge at about $125-plus a day was actually cost prohibitive.
All right, so it just didn't work out financially.
That did not. We're exploring another contract with Nevada County in California, and then also contracts with the state of California for what they refer to as fire camp beds. And these are conservation camps in which low-level inmates work and do conservation work and fight fires.
Sheriff Bosenko, it sounds like air traffic control, trying to keep track of all these inmates, the comings, the goings, and then trying to make sure that everybody gets in the place that is best suited for them and for the management of the jail.
That's exactly right. It's a very challenging job for myself and my staff, especially my staff. On any given day, our jail is pushing a 90% capacity rating. Usually we're at about 86 to 88%. And that means, in terms of bed availability, means that there's somewhere between 5 and 8 beds available in the entire jail. But yet we receive anywhere from 25 to 60 bookings per day.
All right, let's see if we can take a quick call. Here's Rick in Eugene, Oregon. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Shasta County, California, Sheriff Tom Bosenko.
Good morning. Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning.
Morning. What I'm about to say, I want you to realize it's not directed at you at all. You've got a very difficult job to do, and you have parameters you have to work within that are dictated by other people.
Correct.
But I must say that at the age of 71, with 3 kids and 5 grandkids and a lot of life under my belt, and fortunately no contact with the police, my opinion is that the prison system is essentially a torture chamber. And I know that we're stuck when we have people who are acting out inappropriately in society. But I think that the way we've chosen to deal with it, out of convenience, ostensibly, is actually creating an awful lot more problems than we need to have. And I think if we took an entirely different approach to these people, revamped our thinking about it, and granted it's a much longer conversation than we can have here, that in the end, our whole society would be better off. We've got the largest prison population per capita on the planet here, and I don't think most people realize or stop to think about what it would be like to have everything taken from you and be locked in a little tiny room for months or years. Regardless of what you've done, it's going to damage the psyche.
All right, Rick, we need to get a time for response here. Thanks for calling. Good to hear from you. And Sheriff Pasenko, a torture chamber. What do you think?
I disagree with Rick on that aspect. There are many rules and regulations and laws that mandate on how jails and prisons are operated. They have to receive certain types of meals, calorie intake, exercise, medical attention, mental health attention. So I disagree that they are a torture chamber. They are a place to incarcerate those individuals that have and hold accountable those individuals that have violated the laws of our state that have been enacted by our legislators and then arrested by law enforcement, prosecuted by the district attorneys representing the people in this place, the people of the state of California, and then the judges if they're found guilty, the judges sentence them for their punishment to either jail or to prison.
But due to forces beyond your control, you're really not running the kind of facility you wanted to run.
Oh, no, not. That is definitely not the case there. We need more room. Over the decades, California has built more and more prisons, and it was essentially to hold more people as they were being sentenced. But for individuals that are we're not complying with the law. And so we have to follow those, and that's part of prison realignment is to shift some of these things back and do more rehabilitative efforts than just simply warehousing people in prison.
All right, Sheriff Tom Pasenko, thanks for your candor, and thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
You're right. Short break here. Come back with the Writer's Almanac.
Is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the 1st of October, 2013. The first installment of Madame Bovary by Gustave Flaubert began appearing in a magazine in Paris on this day in 1856. The story of Emma Bovary, unhappy, who has an affair and in the end commits suicide. The French government brought Flaubert to trial on grounds of immorality, and he barely escaped conviction. It's the birthday of author Tim O'Brien, born in Austin, Minnesota, 1946, went to McAllister College in St. Paul, was drafted to go to Vietnam, and even though he was opposed to the war, he still went. Before he went off to Vietnam, he spent the day in northern Minnesota. He had a chance to cross the border into Canada, decided not to. He said, "I did not want people to think badly of me. My conscience told me to run, but I was ashamed of my conscience, ashamed to be doing the right thing." When he got back from Vietnam, he went to work at the Washington Post, wrote a book about Vietnam, "If I Die in a Combat Zone, Box Me Up and Ship Me Home," and other books about Vietnam, fiction, Going After Cacciato, July, July, and The Things They Carried, which came out in 1990. The title story, one of the most anthologized short stories in contemporary American literature, which begins, "First Lieutenant Jimmy Cross carried letters from a girl named Martha, a junior at Mount Sebastian College in New Jersey. They were not love letters, but Lieutenant Cross was hoping, so he kept them folded in plastic at the bottom of his rucksack. In the late afternoon, after a day's march, he would dig his foxhole, wash his hands under a canteen, unwrap the letters, hold them with the tips of his fingers, and spend the last hour of light pretending." It was on this day in 1971 the first CT scan, computed tomography scan, was performed on a patient. Sometimes it's called a CAT scan for computed axial tomography, a scan which produces images of cross-sections or slices of the human body, which enables doctors to examine soft tissues. The first scan was done at Atkinson's Morley's Hospital in London of a woman who had a tumor in her frontal lobe, which the CT scan saw. Here's a poem for today by William Wordsworth, a poem dated September 3, 1802, upon Westminster Bridge. Earth has not anything to show more fair. Dull would he be of soul who could pass by a sight so touching in its majesty. This city now doth like a garment wear the beauty of the morning, silent, bare, ships, towers, domes, theaters, and temples lie open unto the fields and to the sky, all bright and glittering in the smokeless air. Never did sun more beautifully steep in his first splendor valley, rock, or hill. Ne'er saw I, never felt a calm so deep. The river glideth at his own sweet will. Dear God, the very houses seem asleep, and all that mighty heart is lying still. Upon Westminster Bridge, a poem by William Wordsworth. That's the Writer's Almanac, supported by LendingTree, where you can fill out one form and receive up to 5 loan offers at trylendingtree.com, NMLS 1136. And by Lumosity. Lumosity.com's daily online workouts are designed to improve memory and attention and are dedicated to helping people feel sharper, think faster, and remember more. More at Lumosity.com. Produced by Joy Biles with assistance by Teresa Burgess. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.